Now, remember the days when sport used to be on the front page only? The days when the press and the players were friends and sport was less business? Well, those days are long gone, but it is fascinating to note some of the forces that caused the change and the shift. Now, I spoke with veteran sports journalist Norm Tasker and Ian Heads a little bit earlier. They've examined this, among a whole lot of other things, in a book called Great Australian Sporting Stories. Norm's is the first voice that you'll hear.
We were part of it, Barry. You know, we toured with them, we lived with them, we ate, drank with them. It was, we were just part of the scene. We got to know them all personally. We had all their telephone numbers at home. It was just an entirely different world. There was no such thing as a media manager or even a player manager in those days when we started. And you did. You became very familiar with them, and you built a trust. There was an honour that was pretty much universal. You didn't dub them, and they respected you. And everybody knew where boundaries were, and it was a very workable and a very honourable and a very pleasant way to do business. And unfortunately, it's not quite like that now. It's a bit more. Well, it's a lot more sterile, forced on us by. I think galloping inflation, really. It's become a large public entertainment these days, sport. In those days, it was just something you did on the weekends, really.
It's all about brand protection nowadays.
All of that sort of thing.
Yeah. What tipped it, do you think, to when it became more tabloid fodder, the exploits of sportsmen and women off the field?
Well, I think it was a natural evolution, really. I mean, the things that really accelerated it were the advent of television, probably, and more particularly pay television, when Kerry Packer and Rupert Murdoch decided to exploit it for all it was worth, and it was worth a lot. You know, it's become a huge thing. Universal television all over the world all day has made sport a very important thing, very, very much part of what makes their business work. And those two guys certainly exploited that. You had, first of all, World Series cricket, and then the Super League thing, and sport was never the same after that. That became, as I said, a vast public entertainment. It was something that generated a lot of money, something that, as you said, required brand protection and all the things that go with high commerce.
And how did that change the relationship between people who work in the press and the players?
Well, markedly. I think, you know, it broke down a lot of the close bonds that were pretty much in place beforehand. When you get so much money involved and so much pressure, trust tends to become a harder commodity to generate. Within the media too, it expanded markedly under this new sort of emphasis. There were many, many more media outlets, and then the technology came, you know, things like when mobile phones and all that sort of stuff started happening. Well, it just changed it again. So, yeah, it just got bigger and bigger and less concentrated, and therefore I think less and less trusting.
Now, if I could, I might just add a point to that, Barry. The word trust it was certainly a factor in those days. I went, as Norm did, on various tours overseas. I went on several rugby league tours to England and France, living with the players, spending a lot of time with them. And it was a sort of a united effort in a way. There was probably a dividing line between press and the team, but not much of a line, you know. And there was a matter of trust there. What they did on tour was the rule, pretty much unwritten rule, was that if they played up and got into some trouble, as happens, you know, now and then these days, and it's suddenly headlines, back then it was a case, it was their life away from the game. We covered the sport, and if there was trouble off the field, it only became interesting to us if it became an official charge against a player or something like that. Otherwise, they played their football. We covered it as best we could, and the two groups got on extremely well, and there was access at all times from press to the players. So it's certainly different, very different world now.
Access is the key word, I think, for my next question. What have we lost as a result?
Oh, we've lost the humanity, I think. You know, it was a very human thing in those days. You the relationships you built, you developed a much more rounded appreciation of what sport was, what the players were going through, what they did, what they thought. Now it's managed, and you only hear about the things that they want you to hear about, largely. And the only stories that vary from that are the ones that are dug out in sometimes fairly nefarious ways. So, you know, it breaks down on both sides. But we've lost a lot. We've lost that sort of basic human relationship factor that used to be so much a part of the game.
There's a nice little quotation actually that goes around, Barry, which is how sport used to be just a game. You know, the sports we played was just a game. Jack Gibson, the great football rugby league coach, said it was just something we'd done on Saturdays. But it's this quotation is it's gone from being a game to a game stroke business to a business stroke game. And I think there's a fair bit of truth in that.
Which is the opposite of what sport really is supposed to be about. My guests this morning on ABC Radio Perth and WA, Ian Heads and Norm Tasker, were talking about their book, Great Australian Sporting Stories. Norm, I want to bring you to this one, and it highlights sometimes the insularity that sportsmen and women have when they pursue a cause. And you look at the 1977 Australian team to England and an opportunity that they had to learn something by going and listening to some astrophysicists of renown in the UK. Tell us what happened.
Well, the team, this was Greg Chappell's team of 1977, it was invited to a function at Jodrell Bank, which was a radio telescope set up by Sir Bernard Lovell, who was involved in the development of radar through the war. You know, a very important figure in the development of the modern world, really. It was a lay day. Nothing was compulsory, but this invitation was there, and most of the players decided not to go. So the manager of the time, Led Maddox, rounded up a few of us press people, I think to avoid as much embarrassment as he could, really, because when we got there, Sir Bernard and his fellow astrophysicist and their wives were dressed to the nines. They had a wonderful party put on, food, everything. And, there were half a dozen of us there, really. There might have been a few more, but not many players, two or three maybe. And the night was just a fascination. Looking through this telescope, he was explaining to us what these things were. He was telling us about how they, at one stage, thought they'd discovered life in outer space and how they sat on what they thought was a mind-boggling secret for about 3 weeks. Until they worked out it was not life, it was a pulsar. But, you know, it was just an absolute fascination, and it astonished me that the players repeatedly, really, young sportsmen, repeatedly passed up these opportunities to enjoy and to understand and to appreciate the things that those sporting tours offered outside of the actual sport.
So it's Ian Heads and Norm Tasker. And that anecdote about that 77 team, I suppose not representative of all people who have toured. And that, I know that there are a number of players from that era who would tour England and make the most of every sort of cultural opportunity that they could.